Me and Matt had a conversation last Sunday, and I can't exactly remember how it went, but something to the effect of, would you like to preach for me or would you like to work for me? Either way, you're going to work for me. So here I am preaching because, as if you didn't know, me and my wife just got back from the beach about 1:30, so I didn't know if I would be able to work for him. So I'm preaching for him. The whole time I was down at the beach, I was like, okay, I got a whole week to figure out a wonderful lesson to present you. And I'm sorry to say that I'm like Matt that week that he come back and he was talking about procrastination. I've already done this lesson once at Pleasant Valley, but I haven't done it here. And it just kept coming back to me. And the title of it is Shelter in the Time of Storms. I know everybody here has had storms. Everybody in our life, we've had storms. How do we deal with those storms? I'm not talking about an F5 coming. I'm talking about spiritual storms, physical storms, whatever the case may be that gets us down in life. You know, I used to love hearing a good thunderstorm coming. But with my job now, I don't like thunderstorms anymore. I'm sure Matt can think with me on that. And I know he's worked a whole lot more than I have, but I'm beginning to hate thunderstorms. What do we do when a storm comes? Whenever we hear the weatherman say a storm's a brewing. Well, in North Alabama, I guarantee you don't take shelter for a hurricane. I guarantee you're fixing to take shelter. The women in here are fixing to take shelter in the basement. While the men, if you're anything like me, are up there looking at the F5 coming straight at your house, and you're thinking, that thing's big. Huh. And then you're just in amazement. And then whenever the siding starts coming off of your house, you realize, hey, I probably need to go take shelter. Well, that's just how men are. But we find ourselves, like I said earlier, in storms in this life. Sometimes it may be natural disasters, it may be jobs, it may be our family, it may be death. Whatever the case may be, we find ourselves in storms. But where do we take shelter? Do we take shelter in ourselves? I got this. I can figure it out. I can do it. Or do we take shelter in God? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And I forgot to mention, thank you for the opportunity to be up here with the elders and Matt asking me. Anyway, thank you. So, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We'll start reading verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's our shelter right there. God's saying, come to me. Come to me whenever you have problems. I will give you rest. All you have to do is come to Him. But so many times in our lives, we don't want to come to Him. I remember a few years ago, me and my friend, we were at Calford, and I brought my granddaddy's boat, which is a 14-foot flat bottom. And if you don't know where Calford is, it's on the Tennessee River. A 14-foot flat bottom has no business being on the Tennessee River, but hey, I was young and dumb and brave. So anyway, we had been out there for a long time, and we got ready to go to his aunt's house. He was on a 24-foot pontoon boat, which was his aunt's. No big deal. That's a big boat. Well, we had been out there for a while, and a little storm brewed up. And he said, well, why don't we go to my aunt's house and take shelter there, and we'll ride it out, and then we'll come back and fish after a while. I said, all right. So here I am tearing out in my 14-foot flat bottom across this slough right here beside Cow Ford. And as I'm going, my boat is going up one side of the waves and down the other side, and water is coming over the front of the boat. And I thought to myself at that point, you know what? I ain't even on the Tennessee River yet. It's going to be bad. So I called him and I said, all right, my truck's right there at Cow Ford. I'm putting this boat on the trailer. You come back and get me, and then we'll do whatever you want to do. So that's what we did. And I just remember being a little frightened in that little boat. And it got me to thinking about Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were with him also. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, in my instance, it was nothing like this. You know, so many times I've read that passage and I was like, okay, it was a sinking boat, whoop-de-doo. But if you stop and you think, it was a sinking boat out in the middle of the sea. The waves was coming over. The boat was getting beat to pieces. I'm sure those men in that boat feared for their life. They were in the middle of a storm. But I want to talk just a minute about fear. What is fear? And the best, the thing just escaped my mind. Anyway, the best definition I can think of for fear, and I got it from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is to be afraid of something. Yeah, that's pretty fearful. Some use fear as the fight or flight instance. And most of us, whenever we're faced with our fears, we use the flight instance. And there's a man in here that if you show him a snake, I promise you, he is going to flight instead of fight. And he ain't going to ask you what color it is, how long it is, how big it is, or anything. He is going to flight. He is not going to fight. But most of us, whenever we're faced with our fear, we flight. And I think that fear had a lot to do with these men not taking shelter in the time of a storm. Because if you think about previous in Mark, Jesus had already healed a paralytic man. I've never seen anybody heal somebody, have y'all? I know doctors can do wonderful things, but they're no magicians. He had also healed a leper. He cleansed the leper. He had also healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had also cast some demons out. And I don't know about you, but I haven't seen any of those in my life. And I'm sure he probably did more things that's not recorded that we're not told about. But those men that day, whenever they saw death, whenever they saw the storm, the literal storm, they were frozen in their tracks by fear. If they would only took shelter in Jesus and had faith, it would have been a whole lot better for them. You know, as I said in the introduction, our life throws new jobs at us. And you're like, well, what in the world? Why is a new job a storm? Well, you don't know what to expect. You don't know how the people are going to be, or how they're going to treat you. So in a sense, a new job can be a storm in your life. Getting fired from your job can be a storm. Marital problems can be storms. Family problems. Bringing new people into your family. Death. Natural disaster. We could go on and on. But we often, whenever we're faced with storms, we ask our questions, okay, what can I do? And I put a lot of emphasis on I. What can I do? And I don't know if every other male is like me, but I try to figure out problems. And I try to fix them. And I've only been married for 6 months, I know. But whenever there's something wrong with Jensen and she says nothing, okay, I mean, I'm a man, okay? But really nothing means dig a little deeper. But I want to fix that problem. I want to fix what's wrong right then. But you can't always. I'm reminded of Joshua. If you remember, Joshua was to take over the whole Israel. And he had a task that he had to lead Israel into the land of Canaan because Moses had sinned and God permitted him to go, right? Okay, so this is a pretty big storm for Joshua because he's got some huge shoes to fill. I mean, Moses, he talked with God. He led those people. He was the intermission, so to speak, between God and the people. And Joshua's like, whoa, wait a minute, time out. I ain't ready for this. I don't know about this. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses comes to Joshua and he says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So if God was with Joshua, don't you think God is with us? Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. The Lord is with you through the storms of this life. I also think about Abraham and Isaac. How Abraham was commanded to take his son. And I don't have a child, but I can just imagine that this would be terrible. For somebody to tell you to take your only son and to take him up on a mountain and to sacrifice him as an offering. And Abraham went. Can you imagine the storm that Abraham faced? But you know how he got through it? He had faith. He had faith in God, and he knew that God was going to take care of him. And so he went, and he did it. And he was fixing to offer his son as a sacrifice, and God said, hang on. You showed your faith. Now, offer this ram that was caught in the bushes. You know, we always think that we can do it ourselves. And we often use God as the last resort. All right, I've tried every single way I know how to do it. All right, God, I'm ready. You do it your way. Everything that I've tried hasn't worked so far. So let's try it your way. Instead, we need to try God's way first. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever you're going through, God can help you go through it. Where is our safe place? Where is our shelter when we are going through storms? Psalm 71, verse 1 and 3. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Those three verses right there are beautiful. Number one, I put my trust in God. Number two, deliver me into your righteousness. Three, be my strong refuge. Four, you are my rock and my refuge. And my fortress, I'm sorry. If we can think of those four things as we're going through stuff, it'll help us. It'll help us focus our minds on God. And then He can help us get through things in this life. You know, God's going to go through storms with us because He's with us. He promises to be with us. But if you're not with Him, He can't help you. He can't help you. There's no way. And you know, if we go ahead and acknowledge, hey, God, you're going through this storm with me. You're on my side. It makes things a whole lot easier if you'll just go ahead and acknowledge it. And He'll give us the strength to press forward. And it may not be now, and it may not be a year down the road or 2 years down the road, but it will get better eventually, whatever you're going through. We have to trust in God's timing. You know, I heard this saying a long time ago. It said, we often tell God how big our storms are, and we complain to Him. But have we ever tried telling our storm how big our God is? And that really hit me. Because do we? We often just, whenever we pray, we just complain to God, oh, my life is so terrible, it's hard, please be with me. Instead, hey, life, hey, Satan, guess what? You're not getting me with this today. Because my God's bigger than you. Psalm 56, verse 11. It says, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, sometimes our storms are caused by other people. Sometimes they're caused by us. But that passage, the last part of it, what can man do to me? If we take shelter in God, what can man do to us? Kill us? Okay. So, if we're in God, where are we going to go? We're going to go to heaven. If our shelter really is, we're going to go to heaven. So what can man do to us? Nothing in the realm of things. Because the one that gives us life is the one that offers us salvation. Psalms 46, verse 1. And there's a lot of these psalmists. And I got one more. And then, but there's a lot of psalmists in here that say about the same thing of taking shelter and trusting in God. Psalms 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. We need to seek shelter in God. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but oftentimes in my life, I don't feel like I do that. And it makes things harder. In Psalms 27, in verse 1 and in verse 14, Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And in verse 14 it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Earlier, whenever I said, you know, you have to trust in God's timing, you have to trust in God's timing. Our plan and God's plan may be two totally different plans. I've seen a meme. I guess I said that right. Did I say that right? Okay, a meme on social media one time that said, my plan. And it had a straight line from A to B. And then right under it, it said, God's plan. And it looked like a hairball mess under that. And oftentimes, we think our plan is so much better than God's plan, but it's not. And God is putting us through this stuff to train us for something else. For something else. He never promised us this life would be easy. But it'll be a whole lot easier if we take refuge in Him. Finally, in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now I understand the proverbial writer is talking to a son at this time. But we can use it in our lives as well. Let God lead you in this life. And stop trying to figure it out for yourself. And whenever you start doing that, I promise you things will turn around. That if you'll put God first and you seek shelter in Him, that everything will start turning around. And you'll be able to go through life a little bit stronger than you were the day before. And then a little stronger and a little stronger. He'll give us the strength that we need. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, and you haven't, and you're ready to seek shelter in God, what are you waiting for? You don't have that shelter if you're not in God. You don't have it. All you have to do is take a few steps up here and confess Jesus is the Son of the living God. Confess your sins. Repent. Be baptized. And we often leave out one more thing. Live faithfully. But why are you waiting? The hardest step, I promise you, is that first step. And once you take that first step, we're all in here for you. No matter what. If you aren't a Christian and you have failed to take shelter, you don't have to confess your sins in front of the whole audience, but we can pray for you. We can help you, but it's hard to pray for you and hard to help you whenever we don't know to pray for you. Whatever the case may be, come forward as we stand and sing.